once again, we're just that much closer to football. Football is basically here. Training camp is well underway. Preseason games about to get started as well. Congratulations. You made it to the last full week without football. This is the Foam Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Foam Brewski Podcast by Power 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. And let me rephrase. This is the last Monday without football. Hall of Fame game on Thursday. We made it, CJ. We made it.
I can't believe it. It's finally here.
You know, it's not like that, you know, it doesn't come around at the same time. And every single time we're just like, wow, we finally made it, even though we finally make it every other year. But good show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking about underrated fantasy wide receivers and fantasy running backs. But before we get into that, some NFL news. We missed this last week because it broke after the fact that we recorded. But Christian Wilkins being released by the Raiders last week. And, well, I think it's safe to say that originally a lot of people thought it was his foot injury. He was having a foot problem going on. And the Raiders were probably just like, you know what? This seems a lot worse than we would have expected. So we're just gonna make way with it like that. But it turns out that allegedly he kissed a teammate on the forehead and said player, or don't know what player it was, but that player took offense to it. Well, can guys just not kiss their boys or something? Like, I'm sorry. Is that really such a big... Playfully kissing, by the way. Playfully kissed his teammate. It can be weird. Yeah. I'm about to get... if I'm going to get her to rant about anything, I guess it's going to be this. I'm sorry, but when I was in high school, we considered ourselves the gayest team in all of Central Mass. As a joke, of course, but also half-heartedly being serious. And that was, we had no freaking issue with it. And we're in 2025. Are we really releasing guys for being gay still? Let me quickly, real quickly backtrack on that. I'm not calling Christian Wilkins gay. That is not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that, like, guys being weird like this in the locker room is not that out of place, I guess. It's not the most ridiculous thing in the world I've heard. But the fact that it went this far to the point where a guy just lost his job, that's kind of where I get an issue with it. Like, guys being dudes. I get if people are very uncomfortable. I get that. I really do. But sack the fuck up. It's a joke. No pun intended? Is that a pun?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so. Anyways. But, like, at the same time, when you look at the history of... Before we get to your take, CJ, Christian Wilkins does have a very, 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 very weird history of doing this type of stuff. Remember Clemson, Ohio State? I think it might have been the Rose Bowl. I forget. But it was Clemson, Ohio State, Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence. And there was a video. The cameras caught this man sticking his hand in Ohio State players' butthole, essentially.
What?
I'm not joking. I remember this clip, and I didn't even realize it was Christian Wilkins.
Wait, Chris. Might I inquire if you are quite certain?
I'm quite certain. Adam's gonna find the clip for us. He's behind the scenes.
And he's probably gonna post as a reel later if I had to guess. Probably.
Anyways, CJ, is gay not okay anymore? Can guys not be dudes? Can I just not kiss the fellas goodnight? Yeah, now Jackson is king. If you're listening at home, it's a picture of a meme that CJ had set up a while ago. It's captioned "My Honest Reaction," and it's just me taking a giant bite out of a steak and cheese. That is my honest reaction. All right, Adam, take that down. But can guys not be dudes anymore? What's the deal here, CJ? What do you think?
I don't care. Okay. You know, you played the game. You would know about this better than I would. But I don't care. That's what it comes down to, is that I genuinely, actually, honest to God, don't care. Wow. All right, Adam. Adam, you got to lock in. You're not going to get that promotion at the Y if you don't lock in. I'm just saying.
For the listeners, that was a picture. We were laughing at a picture of young CJ outside of Gillette Stadium being interviewed by Channel 7 News.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine CJ when he was like 14.
Yeah, 14, 15. But yeah, not at all, Adam. Anyway, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I guess my question would be, how much of an issue was this really? Because let's not be around the bush. Christian Wilkins is an amazing defensive tackle. He got that massive payday from Vegas, and understandably so. We all know why. I mean, you saw what he did in Miami. He was an absolute game wrecker.
Right.
And then he got hurt last season. And I feel like this story, I don't want to say it was carefully crafted, but I do think it was made to deflect from the fact that the Raiders are trying to get out of giving him his guaranteed money. And look, whether you think he should get his guaranteed money or whether you think he shouldn't, that's not the issue here. I think this is a distractor. I don't think you try to kiss someone on the head and you get cut over it. Maybe if you're like a practice squad guy or just a camp body, but when you're Christian Wilkins, no. I think this is a genuine non-issue. And I refuse to believe this is the reason why they cut him. And some people say, well, it played into it. Yeah, I got news for you. No, it didn't. I've just kind of decided that it hasn't. Like, this just doesn't seem to be very important. I think it was more the disagreements over the rehab of his foot.
That's what I'm hoping. Like,
can you not see the very real possibility that, you know, the Raiders are kind of getting a black eye from their handling of his guaranteed money? So they're just trying to leak whatever they can to Adam Schefter or Pat McAfee or Ian Rapoport or whoever to try to, you know, distract from this.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
I'm just saying.
I'm just like you, like, part of me doesn't really care at the same time. Like, this does not affect me personally, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, really? Like, what the fuck? But yeah, if I will put any sort of care into this, I hope it's not for the fact that he's just like play being gay or whatever. I don't know. Like, I just can't imagine me being suspended in high school or college for like acting in a feminine way around my boys as a joke. It happens. Like, literally, I tell Adam I'm going to kiss him on the lips all the time.
I can attest. I have heard him say that many and many a time.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Some other news. Broncos and Cortland Sutton have reached an agreement on a 4-year, $92 million contract extension. I like it. I like Cortland Sutton. I've had the take that he could be a fantastic top 10 wide receiver if he had a competent quarterback. I've gone as far to say that he could be Randy Moss, but I'm backing off that take. But I really do think he could be a great receiver down the line. And hopefully Bo Nix can provide that. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't.
So real quick on that, with this contract coming out, now I think the pressure is starting to go a little bit more into Washington with their Terry McLaurin situation. Because they're seeing the money that Cortland Sutton got. You also look at his stats, and they don't really scream a guy that should be making or should be getting a $92 million extension.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton is one of those guys where you can't really go off the stats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, look, we all love stats. They're cool. They're fun. They're whatever. But we cannot allow ourselves to be a box score watcher, especially like how last season, by the way, I mean, I feel like the whole thing about those stats aren't great. It's a little overblown. A career high 81 catches. He also had 8 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards.
Was this last year?
This is last season in 2024, okay. Yes. And a 4-year, $92 million extension, I don't think is the worst thing in the world. Now, if they were paying him over $100 million, then yeah, we'd have to talk about it. But he's not being paid like the elite tier ones. And the market has already been jacked anyway, but we knew this. So this is, I would say, especially for a wide receiver one like Sutton, this is a little more on the fair side. I cannot fault Denver for doing this, especially because when you have a promising young quarterback like Bo Nix, you have to keep surrounding him with talent. See, there are too many teams that see a rookie, you know, maybe punch above his weight a little, and then it's like, okay, he doesn't need the crush, doesn't need the training wheels, and they just feel the need not to improve the team. And that almost never works. So good on Denver.
Yeah, I all in all, I like the deal too. I think it's just going to force Washington's hand to have to pay Terry more. But
yeah, probably, especially since McLaurin is a bit of a better receiver than Sutton.
Yeah, he did. He report to training camp. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, but he's a hold in.
Yes. Moving on to some other wide receiver news. Treylon Burks. He broke his collarbone yesterday or over the weekend at their during their in stadium practice. Broke his collarbone today. Waved him. Tough bounce. But that's also Treylon Burks. He ever since he got picked up in the first round, he's been anything but a first round receiver. So. Really, the only thing that you can look at if you're the Titans is that you really screwed up the pooch in terms of trading AJ Brown.
True. Yeah.
All right. Good way to wrap up the NFL news. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Underrated fantasy wide receivers coming up next.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Time to get into some fantasy football talk. First, we're going to get into the wide receivers. Last week, we did quarterbacks and tight ends. Adam and I thought that we did a great job with that. I think so. Hopefully, you and I can do just as good of a job today.
Hopefully.
CJ, give me a name. Give me a name. Any name. Could be anything.
What do you got? All right, for wide receivers, I'll give you one. How about Ricky Pearsall for the San Francisco 49ers?
I like it.
And we all know why. Look, Debo Samuel, gone. Brandon Ayuk, who knows what's going to happen with him? And I know we can point to the injury, but he was playing terribly. I mean, he was one of the worst starting receivers in the league when he was healthy. And now with that, the whole Juwan Jennings issue, which you may have heard, he's disgruntled. Maybe he holds out into the season. Maybe he doesn't. But regardless, you have set Ricky Pearsall up to be the starting three, perhaps number two. And Purdy, I feel like, is going to have to target him because, let's be real, The Niners spent a first-round pick on him, and even though I personally think it was a reach, you have to try to get him somewhat involved. And he could definitely be a really sneaky good 10 to 13 points a game flex spot for your fantasy team. Chris, what about you?
Well, it kind of goes to Adam and I's conversation last week in terms of quarterbacks, but I like Jacoby Myers. I kind of like it because, you know, like, yeah, Brock Bowers is going to take a lot of targets, right? Ashton GT is going to take a lot of carries. But when you think of just the wide receiver core in general, Jacoby Myers is at the top. And now you actually have not Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew as your quarterback. Geno Smith, that, like I said, this goes hand in hand with Adam and I's conversation about Geno Smith last week, as we threw him out there as a potential underrated quarterback. This is a guy that the Seahawks had throwing 40 times a game, or at least upwards of it, sometimes even 50. And the way that Geno Smith played under Pete Carroll was basically the whole reason why Geno Smith even had a career revival. So I think that Jacoby Myers is going to be really picking at the fruit of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me another one.
Yeah, so this time around, I want to switch over to running backs and give me, from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tank Bigsby.
Yes.
Now, he kind of is already, I don't want to say a known commodity, but... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just being told that we're still on wide receivers. I thought we were just going to
I was a little shocked that you went right into the running backs, but.
But yeah, no, yeah, I thought we were just going to do, well, you know, whatever, whatever. But yeah, so for other wide receivers, here's a name. Forget Ricky Pearsall's nice, but have you ever considered Marvin Mims? Now, Marvin Mims is not a name many people know. He's from the Denver Broncos, you know, the team that just re-signed Cortland Sutton. But last season, he had 39 catches, and he's not a real volume targets guy. It's what he does when he gets the ball in his hands. He had 39 total catches, but 503 yards and 6 touchdowns. For Denver, I would say Mims, he's the home run hitter, right? He's the deep ball guy. You get the ball in his hands, and he's going to take it 30 yards to the house. That's kind of his thing. And now with a more seasoned Bo Nix and with Sutton back drawing the coverages away, I expect Mims would only improve.
I like it. I like it a lot. Another one I was going to throw out there too was Adam Thielen, but that's more of like the last couple of years. He's just a guy that just absolutely eats targets and whatnot. Like, especially with when other guys aren't performing. Last year, only 10 played in 10 games, and now it's kind of a more filled wide receiver room that they've added in Tet McMillan. Now, I don't know what the usage is going to be on a guy like Tet McMillan, but Adam Thielen could be like a safe, like, bench guy in general. I'll still throw his name in there, not in the most serious fashion in the world, I guess. One guy I will throw in there that really exploded for a couple weeks and could be prime for some more big games down the line is, well, I'm going to say it, Jerry Jeudy. I know that the Browns quarterback room is an absolute fucking mess, and there's no denying that at all. It's a constant conversation week in and week out. Side note, did you see the clip of Baker Mayfield on the Kelce Brothers podcast?
No, I did not.
They're just like, what do you make of the Browns QB situation? And he's like, that ain't my fucking problem anymore.
And he's right to say that. He really exactly. is.
But, regardless of all that, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, like, we have seen that Jerry Jeudy can perform now. Like, it's almost like he got, like, a little bit of a kick, especially when Jameis Winston was really performing for Cleveland, which obviously, when we talk Jameis Winston really performing, that can be really good or really bad. But Jerry Jeudy and even Cedric Tillman were two guys that really, what's the term? They really flourished with that. So I think that with Jerry Jeudy, depending on who the quarterback is, could be a guy that that can flourish again. But like yeah, I said, you got to be really cautious of who's Q-bone over at Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the only thing that concerns me about Jerry Jeudy. You know, he finally cracked 1,000 yards the first time in his career. He also had 4 touchdowns to go along with it, clearly more of a yardage guy than an end zone guy, which that's okay. A lot of receivers do that. I'm not knocking him. But, I tell you, just that QB room should scare you, especially yeah. since Kenny Pickett got hurt. Joe Flacco is ancient. Shedeur Sanders looks to be overrated. And I was just, as you know, never a fan of Dylan Gabriel to begin with because he plays. It's not that he's too short. It's that he plays small. So, yeah, I'd be a little concerned, even though I do think Cedric Tillman is a lot more upside. You know, a lot of people yeah. just like, you know, don't know who he is. And I understand that. But Cedric Tillman, he showed a lot of flashes last year. Didn't necessarily show in the stat sheets, but he did have 29 catches for 339 yards and 3 touchdowns. And given that the Browns wide receiver room really just isn't that good, Tillman should be able to separate himself. Keyword there being should.
Yeah. And honestly, I would pinpoint when they traded Amari Cooper as to when they were finally, or when Tillman was actually able to really get going, really. I think that was
I would definitely say so.
Yeah. All right. That was good. I like that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into fantasy running backs. Well, we already know one. It's Tank Bigsby, and CJ's going to talk more about him on the other side of this break.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ. I'm Chris. We're going to get into underrated fantasy running backs going into the 2025 season. Real quick, CJ, I got a question to ask you.
Fun question.
Don't worry. When is a good time to have a fantasy football draft?
As close to the season as humanly possible. Because every year you see these leagues do it so early and then boom, some big names go down in training camp with season ending injuries. And I would say probably like a week or so before the start of the season, as close as you could possibly get it, you know, everyone's schedule allowing.
Yeah. The one league I'm in that we've been doing for the last 14 years now. So I've been doing this since 5th grade. We do it Labor Day weekend or like on Labor Day because that's usually like 1 week before the season starts. And I love that a lot. I love that a lot. Anyways, fantasy running backs. You mentioned Tank Bigsby. Please continue on that since we interrupted you on it earlier.
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Last season, he became kind of more of a known commodity. But why do I call him a sleeper? Because he still has what we call the handcuff with Travis Etienne. And for some reason, like, I don't know why, although I personally don't believe it's true. Apparently Etienne could be cut or traded, which I'm sorry. I don't really believe that. But even if his job is a jeopardy, then Bigsby's obviously next man up. And even still, even with Etienne, last season he put up over 700 yards and he had 7 touchdowns. It's just that simple. He could very well be RB1. And if he does ever get that nod, then yeah, then maybe Etienne's going to be in jeopardy. But until then, I'm still calling him a sleeper and I am absolutely picking him in fantasy should I get the ability to.
I like it. I like that a lot. I think that's I mean, we saw what he could do last year when he actually got touches. So I think that's a great choice right there. I'm going to go in the direction of a Patriots player this time. I'm going to go Travion Henderson. I know that, you know, there's already sort of a running back committee in New England, but I think Travion Henderson could really explode into being like RB1 or just probably the main guy that, or not the main guy, but the guy that ends up taking the majority of touches maybe. And so I guess this is me saying probably stray away from Andre this season. But yeah, of course, like with a rookie, you know, talking a rookie running back. So anything can really happen when it's a rookie. We don't really know what's actually going to happen. What we do know is what Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson have to offer. But maybe this is me calling my shot here.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Henderson's going to be exciting, especially in the McDaniels offense, which, as you noted, does roll with a running back by committee. We could definitely see a bit of an emergence.
Yeah.
And as far as others, I got a rookie for you, Chris.
Okay, rookie for rookie. I like it.
Gimme Cam Scadaboo from
I had him on my list. I love Give me the boo.
This man, well, if you know college ball, then you know he was a beast at Arizona State. Honestly, I'm shocked he went as late as he did. And look, I know the Giants have RB1 locked up in Tyrone Tracy, but if you ever see Scadaboo play, and you know how the Giants are probably going to maybe lean on the ground game a little bit more because you got Russ. I mean, sure, maybe that'll hurt when Jameis is subbed in. But I could definitely see them doing a lot of two-back sets because Tracy, you know, their current one, Tyrone Tracy, I'm not going to say he's completely earned his RB1 spot. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is the RB1. But how many times have we seen – especially like younger guys, like be one-year wonders. He's got to prove it. And until then, I can totally see Scadaboo breathing down his neck.
Yeah. I got high hopes for the boo this year. I got a lot of high hopes. I'm in love with this guy, and he hasn't even stepped foot on the gridiron yet. I think it's mainly just because of the one playoff game Arizona State had against Texas. I think that's really what does it for me. Just, you know, he's got heart. In first, out last. Sorry. Now we're just getting into bad stereotypes now. But,
oh my God.
To be honest, I like our three. I can't even think of another one that, unless you have another one in mind, I can't think of another one that would suffice to what we have here.
Now, honestly, I think we got it.
Yeah, I think so too. Nice. That was a good quick episode right there.
Yep, Adam ought to be happy, I think.
Yeah, Adam's probably, I'm not gonna
jump for joy.
I'm not gonna, yeah, he's probably jumping for joy. Oh man. But good episode today, CJ. Anything else you wanna touch on before we end the show? Wow, how about that?
No, I mean, we did get the 99 club in Madden.
Yes, we did. I'm down to talk about that.
Yeah, let's just give it a quick mention. The only thing I would say is I'm shocked Patrick Surtain didn't get a 99, even though he's literally the defensive player of the year.
Yep. I highly agree with that. Sorry, I'm just trying to look for the 99 club myself right now. Myles Garrett, I mean, that's just a given. Saquon, that's a given. I guess another one that I wish that they had thrown in is Derrick Henry into the 99 club. Like,
yeah,
he was right on Saquon's ass for that rushing title the entire season. And probably if Saquon doesn't exist and still played on the Giants, then Derrick Henry was going to be the rushing champ. I think that's for sure. Josh Allen, I think it's very deserving. Jettas, Jamar, Lamar. Lane Johnson getting the 99, which I found a little odd.
Yeah, a lot of linemen don't get that, but he's deserving.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, it's not to knock on, like, he definitely is, like, at the very least, a top five lineman in the league. I guess I don't know what the hell constitutes you to be a 99 rated lineman, I guess, or
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either. I don't know how the hell they do these Madden ratings to begin with. It's half of them are kind of bogus to begin with.
True.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. All right. Now that is all the schedule content that we have for you today. Yeah, as mentioned, NFL Hall of Fame game is coming up on Thursday. I'm actually not even sure who's playing in that game, to be honest. I'm going to do a quick search, but it's going to be good. We won't be watching because we'll be at work, but unfortunately, but we'll definitely just keep an eye on it. We probably will most likely not talk about it because it's a preseason game. Chargers and Lions. That's who it is.
All right.
So maybe we get some Goff versus Herbert for like 10 minutes, maybe.
If they start at all.
Yeah, exactly. If they start at all. But it'll be good to see some football again. The Hall of Fame game is a nice, like, the season starts right now. I love it. Who's even getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year?
We posted about it like a bit ago.
Yeah, I know.
Shannon Sharpe's brother Sterling, for starters, I believe.
Yes, that is extremely deserving. I mean, okay, here we go. Eric Allen, Jerry Allen, Antonio Gates, Sterling Sharpe.
All well deserved.
All well deserved. That's for sure. Especially Sterling Sharpe, and I think when Shannon Sharpe had his Hall of Fame induction speech, I think he said it best. Like, he was not the better brother. It just so happened that Shannon never got hurt to the extent of his brother.
True. But now they're both in. So, hey, hats off to them.
I'm glad to see that they're both getting inducted, or Sterling's finally getting inducted. Really actually getting his flowers that he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a good way to cap off the episode. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30 for some more fantasy talk. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, or we have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, our iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FullMaruski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CCJ, I'm Chris. Adam Wright, our producer. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.